Welcome to the Is It Cool or Just Nostalgia podcast. We are officially on our first episode. Yay, first episode.
Yay. forced laughter here.
Yeah, forced laughter. So the rule for this podcast is exactly as it says. Is something cool, is it nostalgia? So we're going to be going through things that we grew up with that we still love today. But do we love that thing because it's actually still cool? If it released today and nobody had any prior knowledge of it and we saw it as an adult, would we still love it? Or is everything we love about it just the nostalgic feelings from when we were a kid? So my name is Jeffrey and we got some other people here.
Hi, I'm Andy.
Hi, I'm Michael.
And I guess I'm Mike number two.
You got Mike and Mike the Deuce.
He's my deuce.
Maybe you need a buffer in between you guys and fully.
No, we are collectively the mics.
We are the mic.
That's the mic.
The
mics
are legion. Everybody who's named the mic knows this.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, no, we have the mic corner and then the other folk. But no, so it is the time of year where everyone's thinking holidays, and that means Christmas movies, right? And so we all kind of watch different things. I watch, you know, Elf every single year because my wife turned me onto that, and she that is a must watch for her every single year. So with the idea of the season, thought it'd be fun to just talk about nostalgic Christmas memories and things that we still think are part of our yearly Christmas stuff. So Mike number one, mm-hmm. You want to start us off? What are you bringing today?
Pull up the topics.
Are we gonna just introduce our topics, I guess?
Yeah, I figured like as we go, your topic start talking about it.
My topic pretty much today is the old Christmas animated TV shows. Some of them, in my opinion, might not hold up today, but some people might still love them. I'm actually curious about that. However, what I can do is I can bring up the stop motion animated Christmas specials. So pretty much just what I was kind of like grew up with was these guys here. This stuff that was absolute nightmare fuel.
All that claymation.
Some of the claymation, stop motion, everything like that. When I was a little bitty kid, I would have nightmares about this stuff, like absolute nightmares about it. But then I got a little older and everything kind of got a little bit better. And as an adult, I look back at it and I feel like it was formative. But I don't know if it was cool.
It taught me what should be scared of and what not to be scared of.
Right. So I feel like a lot of this stuff is not actually cool. I think kids today have a lot more access to different really nice looking animation, Christmas specials, holiday specials, not necessarily just Christmas, but any holiday stuff. And this stuff for me was nightmare fuel. I am curious if they still show these anywhere, if any kid even watches them on a streaming service or anything like that. But I'm absolutely of the opinion that this stuff does not hold up today and is definitely a nostalgia thing if people still like it. Because even like I said, I thought it might have been cool, but no, I went back and looked. It's not. It's absolutely nostalgia for me.
So there are some of these movies, like Rudolph in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up with that one.
Are actually scary scenes in them.
Yeah.
Like, and that's actually, I would say, like a pretty common trope in Christmas in general. Like, the, you know, scary ghost stories, you know, and that in the song and all that. Like, there's supposed to be a little bit of spookiness to Christmas.
Dickensian spookiness.
Right. We've kind of lost.
Like old fables, and they've just been kind of like, yeah, like, Disneyfied sort
right,
of.
Yeah, right. Most of the old Grimm fairy tales are super popular, and like those have been adapted and made like more Disneyfied like probably the best word for it. And those things, the original ones, are scary. Like they are, and so I feel like some of this stuff, even though it's been like, you know, it has some scenes that are like kind of dark. Even just the animation alone.
So you're saying like not even the just aesthetic. The things that were purposefully scary.
The aesthetic, like the stop motion and the claymation and stuff like that. Just the way some things were, Rudolph's nose, I thought would burst at any point.
Well, it's probably because like these movies came out in like what, like I mean, the 50s? I mean,
I actually don't know. Like,
I feel like they're pretty old. Because they were old when I was young. And so I feel like it was early stop motion. So that's part of like some of the jankiness, which might cause, because like, it's almost like they're moving like a zombie the way they're like.
Well, so let me ask the like two listeners. 60, I grew up in 64. India.
Okay.
Right. So I don't know. I did not grow up with these specific ones, but I know of these from cultural references in later shows. Like Community has an episode that is fully this.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
How does this come up in Community? How does this come up?
An entire episode is in claymation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they try to heal Abed by having him imagine in a way.
Yeah, because aren't they like inside his head or something like that?
All right, your mic is facing me, dude.
I don't know which way is. We tested it this way and it was fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt the episode.
So there, it's from 1964, and you were still watching it in what year were you watching it? 80s?
It was in the 80s. Late 80s, early 90s. I was watching this because they play them every year. They probably still play them on cable and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like because I grew up with the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer one and Frosty the Snowman. There's some other ones in there that we could see in the search that I was like, I don't know those. Those look a little freaky. But I do remember like the, what's the Abominable Snowman?
Yeah.
Where everyone's kind of like,
well, he's a central
like
part.
But later on, it was just off. Like, he's all nice later.
Well, he's nice because he gets his teeth fixed.
Yeah.
And he's
he
all
just
fine.
Needed a dentist, the dentist elf.
But I mean, what would you say about these does not hold up?
Well, I mean, look at this. This is Nightmare Fuel right here.
The so Carol of the Penguins.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Yeah, this has got to be some short or something.
It could be. I don't know.
We're looking at the Penguin.
When I think about that, and even if this is not from like my childhood, this is exactly what I remember is how scary this is. That is what I don't think holds up. Love claymation.
So I'm
stuff,
guessing you are firmly on the side of this is nostalgia.
This is nostalgia. I am in, like there's something about claymation in general. I think is just infinitely creepy. And then you just add in like something like Christmas that should be like fun.
So you're saying you weren't like a big Gumby fan as a kid.
I wasn't a big Gumby fan. I still don't like A Nightmare Before Christmas.
I loved Gumby when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I love Charlie Brown's Christmas special.
Well, yeah, but that's not claymation.
That's not claymation.
You said animated.
Yeah, no, no.
We're on claymation.
No. I meant the Christmas. This is the specific type of special. Like you see, like they had these things, and they basically
with
they
physical
it's not
objects.
Claymation because those aren't even clay. It's
that's
just
a lint.
Yeah, stop motion.
It's
yeah,
stop
that's
motion.
Really what
claymation.
It is.
Claymation is stop motion, but it's just with clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just this stuff and the poses that they have. Like Rudolph will have like this look with.
He does have some creepy eyes.
Yeah, the creepy eyes, that nose. I always thought that nose was going to
explode.
Okay,
one thing about the nose that did really annoy me and still does is his nose, when it lights up, it makes a really annoying noise.
Oh, the whole... Yeah.
Everybody listening to the podcast just heard us make that noise, and they were like, stop.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I had to give an example, apparently.
I don't know how in that time period they played that and then they thought, that sounds like a nose lighting up.
Yeah.
Right.
What
right.
part point of it?
Maybe yes. back so, in the 60s, that's how it sounded whenever you turned on the lights.
The special effects guy, and they got to the end of it and they put in the special effects, and they're just like, the sound effects guy. And they're like going, we don't have any time left. We got to roll with this.
But hey,
I think that
it was just a placeholder, and they ran out of time.
Yeah, it had to happen that way. Like
some dude who had his like slide whistle.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Oh, well, this is Jack Frost. This is another one.
Oh yeah.
God, that is just nightmare fuel.
I've never seen that one.
I'm going through this list of like top 10 of these. I've not seen that one. I have maybe seen that one.
Really?
Jack Frost, I've definitely seen, and that
but
is nightmare.
See, now that I think of Frosty, that's actually a cartoon. Oh, that's God, not baby. Stop motion. Yeah. Now that I think about it. So it's just Rudolph. I watch because Frosty was a cartoon.
I know they had a lot more of these, but I also, for context, I grew up in a tiny farm town. We had four channels for most of my life growing up, we had like four channels. And then later on, we got a little bit older channel. We got a little bit more channels.
What is that?
What is that?
Time to focus.
That's a focus timer? Oh, God. I'm so sorry. Yeah. This is my first episode issues, man.
Hey, exactly.
That's all right.
Yeah, they get to see all the technical stuff.
So, Jeffrey, you're going to edit that out.
Whenever I see these things, my biggest fear of these old things is, oh, no, there's going to be a
that's a little creepy thing.
Like a culturally really insensitive, cringy thing will pop up.
Oh, and they often did. I don't think I can think of a specific example from like Rudolph or something like that. But like that was very commonplace, you know.
Oh yeah, like some sort of stereotype or something like that. Yeah. Like somebody who didn't celebrate Christmas, for example. Like, you know, just anywhere from like all over the world, like they would just have like some stereotype, and that was so common.
When you go and you watch it today, you're just like, oh, I loved this when I was a kid. You try to show your family, and then all of a sudden you're like,
yeah.
Oh.
And it's funny because it's like, you know, it's hard to judge things because they're made for the time they're made. But yeah, it's like that could be kind of rough. It could be rough. So
I think you are firmly on the nostalgia train.
I did like this one.
So
I think this one actually was like.
Oh, there was a special.
Well, I didn't see that one. I only saw the cartoon.
The Frosty, he was awesome. He had a wonderful voice, a very deep voice. Mm-hmm. It was very like, that one's cool. Like, that one's cool.
A famous crooner or something who played him. What's it like? Burl Ives? What's it say in the description there?
Let's see. I don't see anything about it. Yeah, I mean, I can IMDb it.
I think we've covered that, so we know we're nostalgic. So we'll all vote on that later to see if we agree with them or not. Who wants to go next? Mike the Deuce or Andy?
I can go.
All right.
I pick. So there might be a theme to what I pick always, but I watch a lot of movies. I picked Home Alone.
Jackie Vernon.
Home Alone.
Yes. And I think, and I've seen it also recently, I think most of it, sometimes it might take some alcohol, but most of it still holds up. John Williams' movie score, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, John Williams.
Without question.
Well, you listen to the music in this, and it brings a tear to your eye. It's good. Like,
I'll give my personal, for like, the story is, for me, what Christmas in America as a benchmark was this movie.
Oh, yeah?
So I assumed people lived in a house
selfish
like that.
Selfish people who left their kid at home and then... That's the benchmark.
That's America for you.
Wow!
They weren't selfish. They had a reason.
Self-centered, trying to go on vacation, and they couldn't even account for their kids.
Some guy in Beijing.
He's just like he's doing all these...
Well, before that, he'd always played like mobsters and stuff, right?
Yeah, he was in Scorsese. He was also in like not to be on a tangent here, but it was what's the one where he was like the Italian guy with the lady who did the famous court scene where she rattled
my cousin Vinny.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Even my cousin Vinny is a little in his thing, but this one is he plays that role really well.
Yeah.
Well, what about John Candy as a polka star?
Oh yeah. He's very heartwarming.
Polka.
Just so like...
I think it's both nostalgia and good. I think there are parts of it in nostalgia, and it's a kid. There are some cringe moments when you see and you go like, oh, it's kind of unbelievable. But like I said, majority of it still holds up.
Like stepping on micro machines and going, whoa, and falling down.
Yeah, those... Look, I would have believed it for Legos. But you just,
well, that won't make you go, whoa. That'll just make you go, oh, mother...
How old were you the first time you saw Home Alone?
I was probably between the ages of 7 to 9 or 10. And I saw the first one. Second one is Alone in New York, right? Third one is like made years later.
After Home Alone 2, the others don't exist.
Yeah, the others don't exist.
Yeah, Home Alone 1 and 2, the others don't exist.
Wait, there are more than two?
There's like 5 or 6.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know that.
Is there any in like in recent years? Or like
yeah. That they there's one within the last like 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
Cash grabby.
So my guess is like anything past 2 did not have Macaulay Culkin?
No, it did not.
Okay. No. Third was their last sincere attempt.
Yeah. I mean, did Macaulay Culkin ever come back?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. No. I could have sworn I had seen something.
I would actually love for them to do
it. The guy that plays his older brother, I think, was in the most recent one as like a cop or something like that. And I don't recall if he was actually playing the same character or not, if he just happened to have a cameo in it. But no, like, I think I saw Home Alone 3 when it came out, and I was like, this sucks. Then I just didn't touch the rest of them.
I think that'd be a good one where you just have Macaulay Culkin come back as the dad now.
And just he's the one leaving his kid home?
Yeah, because he's, well, he's living the good life now. Like, because, you know, he went through some rough times, I'm pretty sure. But he's living the good life now. He's cleaned up everything. And his brother is also now a pretty well-known actor. So get him in the mix, too. And that would be fantastic. I would love to see that.
No. Yeah, he's the older person now. He's that. But he's still the one that gets left behind. But it's like Home Alone / Taken. Because they go darker with it.
Oh, Jesus.
And the wet bandits come back. And, like, we're here for blood. And they, like, take him and they're trying to torture him.
The wet bandits come with their army.
And the kids have to save him.
It's John Wick style fighting. It's
Have
you guys, bloody. You guys seen Violent Night?
Yes.
That is, okay, it's more like Die Hard, but, like,
wait,
it's
Santa's almost that Santa.
Dude, like that. Okay, I'm on board with that. I think that'd be pretty sweet. I think that'd be good.
Joe Pesci is the mobster, like a full-out mobster who's like...
Yeah, he's now more like what he was. Like
they're supposed to be reformed, I think. Like, they should change their
people
ways.
People sometimes hard times. It's hard times, you know? You got to do what you got to do.
No,
Joe Pesci would know what
he's
to
in,
do.
He's in the jail going, that kid.
Yeah, he's sitting
there. I'm going out Sunday.
Yeah, he's just been staring at
making
a wall
plans.
Yeah, instead of like part two where they stumble across him, they like outright look for him, kidnap him, you know. Yeah. So, oh goodness. All right, well then, just because I know my pick's going to be a bit controversial, we'll say, let's go with the deuce over there.
Okay, so my pick for today is A Christmas Story. This one is a classic. I'm sure, I hope all of you know about this one. But in my family, it's definitely been a tradition to watch this every single year. And I will say, though, I am slightly disappointed. In more recent years, we have stopped doing that tradition, and it's more like, if it's on, we'll, you know, put it on, and it could be in the background and whatnot. But it definitely, especially when I was young, this was a staple during Christmas time.
Do they still have the channel that, like, plays the movie over and over for 24 hours on Christmas? Yeah. They still do that?
Still have it.
Now, I will say, I cannot take 24 hours straight of this.
But that means every Christmas. But it is on.
That actually fits into what you just said. It's like, have it on in the background. It is a wonderful movie. Like, you're decorating the Christmas tree, right? And you just need something on the background. And you're like, oh, you know, I'm sick of Christmas music already. I've already been to tons of department stores. You can have this movie on the background. It is fantastic.
Well, so that's one other thing that I think also makes this movie great is that these scenes are like, for lack of a better comparison, things like Family Guy, where it's like each scene is this own little containerized bubble.
Yeah, they're almost like stories. Yeah. There's sometimes very, like, it's almost lacking, like, the connective tissue, but that's part of the charm.
Right. Yeah. It's like you're able to almost digest it in bite-sized pieces.
Yep.
Without having to really see the whole thing in one go. In fact, I would probably say the first few times I've seen this movie, I did not watch it all in one go. It was always piece by piece. I was a kid, you know, I'm not going to be all interested in, you know, watching a full movie that isn't animated in some fashion, right?
Now, if I remember hearing you guys talk about this once before, you have not seen part two.
Yeah, so that's funny you bring this up because we were just talking about all the Home Alones. Apparently, there is A Christmas Story 2, which came out, what was it, last year, a couple years ago?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Super recent. It was,
it's very recent, yes.
Yeah, it apparently did not do so well.
2022.
No, it was not.
2012.
It was 14 years ago. So, yeah, pretty much last year. Way.
That's not the same thing.
That's not the recent one. A farce. That's not the real.
No, there's a 2022 version, A Christmas Story Christmas.
Oh, Christmas Story
Where Ralphie returns.
2022.
There we go.
That's the one we're talking about.
Christmas story. Okay.
And this is about Ralphie all grown up, too.
Okay, so this one I would probably watch.
All right, so I want to know, is he, like, super, super sick throughout the whole movie? Because I don't see how that family doesn't have some kind of issues with part... No, not this. Part one, they're constantly... Like, what, every other day, that black smog just floating through the kitchen? How do you not have lung problems?
You know what? I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah.
I think that was a... So, it is set in the 50s or 40s or something, right?
50s, movie, I think.
I think 50s.
So, the movie came out in what?
I think
83.
That's a caricature probably off the cooking...
Okay.
Yeah. So what's interesting also about this is that I didn't know it's based off some books basically that also turned into screenplays, and this is like the third one in the series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The guy who wrote the stories wrote many different ones, and a lot of them turned into movies.
So is that maybe why
they all followed the same family too?
I found the book name. Really cool book name. In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Auditors Pay Cash.
That's the book title.
I don't know about that.
All right.
But yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting because, like, this isn't the only story around that family.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of these stories, it's like told from a first person perspective, too, where the narrator is the character. In the movie.
I want to know who the narrator was talking to. Because
everyone.
Not from the movie, like in the quote unquote world of A Christmas Story. Who is the narrator talking to? Who is he reliving this story to? Like, well, sitting down to his wife talking about it? Because some of the things he was saying, I'm like, I don't see an adult ever saying that when they're talking about some story from their childhood when they're explaining something that happened.
It feels like he's writing it from the perspective of writing a book, like a memoir.
I mean, these were books.
His memoirs.
Okay, that could make more sense.
Right. I mean, that's the way I always took it, is like he's literally writing his memoirs.
Right.
And that's, I don't know if that's like what he was actually doing, but it sounds like it.
And so in relation to that, these stories actually are supposed to be related to the author's actual life.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. They are basically mirrors of his own life. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So here's one thing. Here's just the thought. You know, in the movie, Ralphie listens to serials on the radio. Like, they're just called serials or whatnot. They're like stories. And he's writing little pieces of stories that they adapted into a movie. And maybe that's why everything feels containerized. Mm. Like the scene where he goes, oh, fudge. Like, that whole scene could just be a scene and everybody would know that scene and not even connect to the rest of the movie.
Right.
And it just feels like it's kind of like it's like a serialized like events for this family. And like, he just loves that, which he even wrote a character that also loves serials. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's not a coincidence.
Yeah. So I think, you know, this movie, it's a bit of a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is not super relevant today, but the family dynamic is pretty relevant. The Christmas season, the things that happen, the hijinks that the kids get into, it's all pretty relevant to today. And it's just a nice movie. I think it's not great. It's not terrible.
It's not mean-spirited.
Right. It's not mean-spirited.
And it's got some bad things that happen, but you know.
Right. Right.
It's all about the Christmas spirit. Andy knows.
So I will say, although it is getting long in the tooth, and I'm sure there are people that are getting annoyed with it by now because of just the 24-hour TBS or whatever specials, but I still think it's cool.
Hey, you can't say that yet.
No, he
can talk about what you like say.
This is my case.
We don't say what our thought is.
Okay, all right. So we still don't know the rules yet, or at least some of us don't. I won't call out.
Episode 1.
I won't call out who doesn't know the rules, but you know.
All right. So my pick for a Christmas movie is something that just dawned on me that I don't think I've ever heard anyone discuss before as a Christmas movie. And that is Batman Returns.
No.
All right, you're immediately saying no.
Say Die Hard.
Well, I also think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but explain to me why Batman Returns is not a Christmas movie, because you're already saying no, so I know what you're gonna vote.
In the pictures right here, let's just throw this out here. So I'm gonna put up some images. Man.
Michelle,
where do you
show me anything Christmas related?
That's fine. Okay,
scroll up right there. We got our first right here. We had to scroll all the way down.
Hold on. Let's do this. Raise your hand if you actually watched it again to prep for this podcast.
One more. There it is.
No, nobody else.
Where?
To the left, left of your mouse.
Where?
Yeah, right there. In the middle.
Nobody else watched it again.
Yeah.
Huh?
Look at that. It's set like a Christmas. No,
Jeffrey,
to the left of that.
Don't worry about the photo.
It's just
like
the
Christmas.
This isn't even a real thing.
So here you go then. Here you go. All right.
Okay.
First off, either the first or second line of the movie is literally "Merry Christmas." It takes place on Christmas season when Penguin is born, and then it fast forwards 33 years later to the Christmas season. The opening scene after that, introducing all the grown-up characters, is literally in the town square at a Christmas tree lighting ceremony as people have been going around Christmas shopping. Catwoman, when she kills the Shrek, literally says, like, "How about a kiss, Santa Claus?" And then she says she's going to save another of her lives next Christmas. It's all on Christmas!
One second, did you just say Catwoman kills Shrek? Is that what I just heard?
Not Shrek.
Not Shrek. Yeah, isn't his name Shrek?
It's
or is it Shrek?
Yeah, it's something like that. Batman Returns. Catwoman kills. What's his name?
Yeah, Shrek.
His name's Shrek. Okay. Max Shrek.
Max Shrek kills Selina Kyle.
He kills Selina Kyle to turn her into Catwoman.
Yeah, yeah.
It all takes place during the Christmas season. I'm like, the literally only thing it doesn't have is someone dressed as Santa Claus.
Okay, so now I guess is the time to discuss.
Well, I haven't even got to say why I like this movie yet. You jumped all over the train.
You're the one who brought this upon yourself.
Does a Christmas setting make a Christmas movie?
Well, then I will flat out ask, what makes a Christmas story, other than Christmas being in the title, we're not counting that, what makes a Christmas story a Christmas movie and Batman Returns isn't?
I mean,
name one thing that movie has.
Okay, I can name multiple, but I'll just do one because you wanted one. They literally hand out gifts to each other over, around a Christmas tree and open up presents.
Okay, so the only thing then, in your opinion, that makes it a Christmas movie is if they're opening the mass consumer. They were literally going and buying the presents in the movie. You just didn't get to see them open them. So that's the difference.
That is one difference.
I have a much better one that makes me sound a little less than attached to mass consumerism, like Mike here. You got to have presents be handed out to be Christmas. So, for example, the Bumpus's dogs come through and ruin the turkey. So what do they do to go out and have a good time as a family and celebrate Christmas and the Christmas spirit and being together? They go out to a Chinese restaurant and have Christmas duck. Like, that's what they did. And they had a wonderful time. That is one of the things that makes it a Christmas movie, is the family is being brought together, even though it didn't go completely the way they wanted to. They were brought together and they had a wonderful time. Where is that?
They were brought together. They were brought together at a ball and they were all dancing and enjoying each other's company until the Penguin shows up and stole Max Shrek.
They went to a party that was seasonal.
So you're saying they have to go eat at a Chinese restaurant?
No.
My point is, okay, traditionally, a Christmas movie takes place at Christmas, has Christmas stuff like Christmas trees, Christmas shopping, Santa Claus, stuff like that, and is considered a Christmas movie.
Okay, so I would say it has to be Christmas itself, something Christmas related, has to be a substantial part of the actual story.
Well, then a Christmas story is taken out of it, too. 95. No way! I literally just watched it yesterday. 95% of that fucking movie has nothing to do with Christmas.
Okay, how about I say at least part of the story has to involve something Christmas related.
Okay, so like Christmas shopping, Christmas tree lighting ceremonies, Merry Christmas.
Which you're going to say.
Stuff that's all in Batman Returns.
Look, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I would say this is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard is.
But culturally.
It literally starts with Christmas and ends with Christmas. I think the last line of the movie is literally Merry Christmas.
Sounds like Batman Returns has a better, chance of being a Christmas movie than Die Hard then.
I think neither of them are Christmas movies, so I don't care what
I think it boils down to the spirit, not like going through the bullet point list. Does it have the Christmas spirit? That's more to my point of like the scene in The Christmas Story. Where is that in Batman Returns?
So what is the Christmas spirit then?
I told you. It was like when you get family gets together and they're just kind of celebrating being together. Like that's okay. Part of the holiday spirit. The
this is going to be bad then because Batman's stuff. Family is dead. That's not fair.
Then it can't be a Christmas. It could be literally a movie.
So you're not allowed to celebrate Christmas if you have no family.
I can give you that one, but that also doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Wait. This is like those grim, dark,
just because his family dead, you know, give him a pass.
But I'm saying like he hangs out with Alfred and they literally say Merry Christmas to each other. He has like dinner with Selena Kyle when they're celebrating Christmas. I'm like, come on. Set up there, please.
Food has arrived.
My beautiful wife, everybody.
Tell you what, yeah. Tell you what. I already know how this is gonna go. Batman Returns is absolutely a Christmas movie. But
okay, so state your case on whether it's cool or nostalgia.
Stepping away from that, let's get to the cooler nostalgia. All right, all right. Yes, this is the sequel to the original Batman. The original Batman broke the internet before the internet was a thing because of the Batman craze when the first movie was coming out. And this was a direct follow-up to that movie just a couple years afterwards. And I would argue is the better of the two between Batman and Batman Returns. It's definitely the better when you include all the other, the Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. The heck with those movies.
I liked Batman Forever.
I like Batman and Robin.
Oh my god.
Oh, you're one of those? Oh my god.
Well, who was that?
There's a door right there.
Got bat nipples. Yeah. But no,
the nipples,
Hey, with the bat this card. Is his incarnation of Batman is the first time we got to see the real, like, quote unquote, Dark Knight. Like, we saw the whole campy silliness of the 1966 Batman. And that's what everyone thought of as live-action Batman. And Frank Miller, I think, was like the kind of crowning jewel of bringing the darkness of Batman into the comics. And we actually got to see Batman be cool.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think without these, I don't think you would have got the Christopher Nolan Batmans, which are my personal favorite.
But does it still hold up today?
I absolutely think so. I watched it yesterday, and I was loving it.
Does it hold up today as a Christmas movie?
Yes, because it's literally got Christmas all over it.
I think if I'm judging outside the Christmas.
Yeah, outside part. The Christmas
context. But yeah, it's cooler nostalgia. It's just what I brought for the topic.
It's the theme of the episode, and I think it shouldn't have been included, but, you know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I would make the same argument for A Christmas Story, then.
It's in the title of the movie.
So it has to be in the title?
No,
is that what makes it a Christmas movie?
No, it's just contributing factor.
Mm-hmm. It's got just as much Christmas in this movie that is in Christmas Story.
Okay.
The percentage of the movie that involves Christmas is the same.
Mm.
Yet I get Batman beating up bad guys. You get a dude getting shot in his own eye.
Well, he shot his own eye.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shot his own eye.
Right.
And bitching about a toy gun the whole movie.
And opening Christmas presents and going to visit Santa and playing in the snow. What
well, they technically and play the in the snow too if you count
and the being stuff. Family together. What else do we want?
Look, the penguin is just
you have to admit you were regretting saying that yours is that
the
much
penguin
better
is just Santa got popped he's up on drugs.
He's a Santa stand-in.
He's a pissed off Santa. There you go.
He's got homeless and then
but hey, let's beyond that, we're obviously not going to settle the argument of Christmas movie or not. I would say, hey, let us know if you agree or disagree. And if you disagree, you're wrong. but I think we need to go back to our first item and the rest of us can vote. So I believe you went first.
Yes.
And
the claymation/stop motion Christmas animated episodes are absolutely nostalgic. Because I thought they were creepy when I was a little kid, and then I got a little bit more into them as I had seen them a ton of time growing up, but then revisiting them now, nope, absolutely nostalgia.
What do you think?
I'm first vote. I'm going to disagree, Mike. I'm sorry. I know Council of Mikes and all that. Yep, I think it's cool. And my number one reason why is the music You cannot get around the fact that there are so many classic crooners and amazing music in a lot of these movies that if they didn't exist, you probably wouldn't have those recordings. And so still cool to this day.
So the music's cool, but the actual show and animation, it's so good.
Awesome, he encompasses that package.
Right. Yeah, he's like, it's like, I just close my eyes and listen to the music.
Well, first off, okay.
No, he doesn't have the scary images.
He just does this.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Stop motion.
It's so cool.
Stop motion doesn't bother me at all, so I don't know where you're coming at with that, but I'm just trying to, like, say that's my reason.
What do you think?
So, if I go by visuals, really... which is
I'll buy the whole package.
I get your music part, but I'm also whenever I look at something like that, which is Nightmare Fuel, I'm also thinking not every part of it. Some parts of it look beautiful. Other parts of it are like, how did they think that was okay that it looked like that? Like, you know, like Rudolph just has like this, like glazed eye, like the
dead eyes,
like it's crazy eyes that are looking at you. Right? Either they're dead or they're crazy. There's no in between. So, I think if you kept the music, the rest of it is nostalgia, I would say. Music's great, but...
So, what is your vote?
Some of them didn't have music.
Final answer.
All right, nostalgia. So, okay. It's a tie here, then.
You're the tiebreaker.
I absolutely loved the Rudolph stuff growing up, and I did... bring it back and reintroduce it to like
my
kids.
Not just talking Rudolph, I'm talking a lot.
I know. I can't talk Rudolph. To all of them. I can talk to the ones I've seen. But rewatching them as an adult, regardless of the music, because I'm doing the entire package, I'm like, that's right, the entire package. No, rewatching them as an adult, I'm like, I don't see why these were so beloved as I'm watching them now. As a kid, I was like, ah, it's, you know, cool.
It's animated.
Yeah.
that was all the requirement needed.
Since as an adult, I can't get into it as much, I have to rule on the side of nostalgia.
Oh.
Nostalgia.
Breaking my heart. It's
so, that claymation stuff is ruled nostalgia. Let us know what you think.
Please tell me. You agree with me. Someone out there, just at least someone out there.
You can comment they can put it in the comments or they can email at coolerjustnostalgia@gmail.com and tell them how much you agree with the deuce over there.
The deuce.
Because you got Mike and Mike the deuce.
You know, I'll go with it.
Yeah.
Did you want to hear the other name I came up with? Or?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good with that.
All right. Home Alone.
Yes.
So I believe you are on the side of it's cool.
Absolutely.
Do you have any final arguments you want to push for everyone else?
Really, I think they discovered the gem of a kid who got put in more amazing movies later on. And then his life went crazy, so that's... something else, but I think that was one of the first big child stars, like blockbuster of the blockbuster era. And then clearly centered around Christmas, going to the church, being afraid of this weird guy, old guy, the unknown. So a lot
shovel
of
dude.
Actual, the shovel dude, a lot of very kid perspective. He's scared of the furnace in the basement, which is so true to things we would be afraid of, right? That are in the dark. So those parts, I think that's what I feel like. It's like 70-80% still is good. Physical comedy also. I didn't call that out before. Physical comedy from Joe Pesci and the Todd Marvin, whatever his name was.
The Wet Bandits.
Wet Bandits, yeah. Really good.
So I'm just going to flat out say it. I totally agree. I didn't mention it earlier. I mentioned how like we watch Elf every year because that's what my wife always loved, and so that's what we watch every year for Christmas. Every single year for probably the past 20 years, I watch Home Alone 1 and 2. That's what I watch around Christmas time. I specifically didn't mention it because I knew you were going to talk about it. So, but yes, I love the movie still to this day. I love all the John Williams stuff. I may get flack for this, but he is the second greatest movie composer of all time.
Wait, Danny Elfman?
No. But no, I'm voting Zimmer. Cool. I'm voting cool. Yeah. You want to know who my number one is?
Yeah.
Alan Silvestri.
I thought he was a comic book artist.
No.
Hmm.
Okay. Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, Avengers Endgame, Captain America, Ready Player One. Like, he's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah. I think Howard Shore might be
coming in a future episode. Movie composers.
A Christmas Story.
Home Alone.
All right. Well, I'm not home alone. You're home alone.
No, there's only one person voted.
Oh, sorry. You're sorry.
That's cool.
I voted last the first time, so I thought when I voted, I was like, I'm last. So I was like, let's keep going. But my bad. Keep going.
He's got it all in his head, and we're just going crazy now. Home Alone. Also think it's cool. I think there's nothing too problematic about it. And like you were talking about also, it's got that spooky factor with the basement stuff going on and the freaking the shovel guy. Right. So that definitely gets a thumbs up for me. It's definitely got the Christmas formula and the music. I just got to point that out again. It's great. By the best composer in the movie.
Shots fired.
Everybody says John Williams, and they forget about all the other ones out there.
Right. I would say, as a kid watching it today, I bet they would love it. As an adult watching it today, I absolutely love it. It's definitely cool.
So what we're saying is, your vote doesn't matter. It's being voted cool, but let us know anyway.
That's fine, because I actually agree with the group. I think it's cool.
Unanimous.
I think the movie was just absolutely excellent from beginning to end. It was just, it's still relevant today, because what parents can't identify with accidentally leaving a kid, because your lives are always hectic. You have a big family trip and then you just leave it. And then the kid immediately is just like, this is so cool. But then something bad happens. So it's kind of scary. But then all the shenanigans happen with the wet bandits and whatnot. And then the family makes it home to him. And it's a classic all around. And then of course, you gotta say the line of keep the change, you filthy animal. who doesn't love stuff like that that came from that movie? So it's cool.
And who doesn't love when your pizza gets delivered, he keeps knocking over your property?
Right. Oh, he keeps running over the gnomes. Is that
the statue? It's like a little statue of like a guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, sorry. A Christmas Story.
There we go. A Christmas Story. Okay, so like I said earlier, yes, nowadays it's starting to get a little long in the tooth, but I would say because of the way it's formatted in these little story bubbles that kind of go on in the show, it's easy to digest it in bite-sized pieces, which means that even if it's not the most riveting movie, it is definitely something that has its moments. So I think for what it's worth, it's definitely still cool, although it's starting to lean towards the nostalgia side.
I don't want to mess up, so I was going to wait to go last again.
I can go for it. The order, right? Yeah. You just spoke before.
Yeah, we got no order.
I can go, and I think it's cool because it's... it's all short stories that were made into a movie. Kind of Dennis the Menace vibe towards the kid too. So I appreciate that a lot. And then he gets away with it, right? With the rifle, still messes it up.
Comes up with that wonderful cover story
with the icicle. The glass, and then the icicle story. And so I feel like it's such a cool... they try to do it's so hard in movies to have that side things happen, because everything has to be the main story, but things happen with the side characters, with his friends group then do something weird. So it's really hard to include that. So I appreciate that they actually were able to pull that off, and you didn't think it was anything, but here's more weirdness that's happening in the neighborhood, kind of, you know? So I think it's cool.
All right. I also think that it's cool because not only did I love that movie growing up, we would watch it every single year as a family, but then throughout the years, even years where, because I've never been one to like watch much TV, even get to watching a ton of movies a lot of times, I will always find time to watch that. Sometimes multiple times in a single like season, holiday season. And also for me, it has a secondary like factor of like I got to introduce my wife to it. She never watched it until a couple of years ago, and her and I watched it together, and she is such a massive fan of it now. And now it's part of our tradition that we have to watch it every year, and it's fantastic every time. So definitely cool.
So I clearly picked up that both of you have been watching this since you were very young. How old were you the first time you saw it? Do you remember?
Oh, this was with my wife introducing me.
Okay. Oh, you were the one introduced. So yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see this as a kid.
All right. I was hoping I had a throughput here. I'm probably going to get some hate mail then. I think it's 100% nostalgia.
Oh, it's too bad your opinion doesn't matter.
I know, right? It doesn't matter at this point.
Turtle, can you attack him?
I didn't see it for the first time until I was in my 30s. And I found it very, very boring. And I watched it again yesterday to prepare for this. That was the second time I've ever seen it. And I found myself messing with my phone more often than anything because I still find it so incredibly boring.
Wait, so you never found a connection from being a little kid in all the situations, even though it's in the 30s, 40s, like you were never in any of those situations where you can find yourself like...
Whether I can find a connection like that moment or not doesn't negate the fact that it's at 90 minutes. That's a very, very short movie.
Yeah.
And 45 minutes in, I'm just like, oh, and I check time. I'm like, I'm only halfway through this.
Send all your hate mail to this guy.
Yeah. Send all your hate mail to cool or just nostalgia.
Yeah.
Batman guy over here doesn't get it.
I understand that a lot of people love this movie. I get it.
You didn't already have enemies in this crowd for Batman Returns. You now.
Hey,
have
you cannot them. Vote because I didn't like one of yours that way.
Who's here's that something was though for that? You, just watching it because it's a thing you want to watch. Is different versus thing you need to watch, and so you watched it. So there's no like those movies. It's sometimes you need to be in like the I'm gonna have fun with this kind of zone, and so you find yourself laughing at things you might not.
But I mean, the first time I went into it was literally just like I've never seen this. I should watch it. Everyone always talks about it. It's played every single year for 24 hours. I've never seen it, and I didn't like it the first time either. It's just movies that are just very, very slow and nothing really that significant is happening. Call it part of my ADD. I don't know, but I start being like, can I change the channel now? And I think that's part of it. There's it doesn't have to be like an action movie, but to me, there's nothing really happening.
Mm.
So because of that, I'm just like, it's nostalgia for me. But again, my vote doesn't matter. You had two cools.
Were you raised, raised by wolves? Just wondering. Did you have a family? Were you Batman? Were your parents shot when you were very little in an alley by some creepy dude? Like, well, is this?
Look, wouldn't you be so much egg? Like an oyster check on his face.
Explain everything. Really no. I know nothing about really my parentage. If he was just like saying all this, and I'm like, actually, my parents did die when I was young. You would have just been like,
shot in an alleyway.
No, I would have been like, that explains everything. Thank you. So I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry, but thank you. You explained it now.
Okay.
Then send him less hate if that's actually true. Otherwise, all the hate.
My parents are there.
Oh,
okay. So let's. Speaking of Batman, we'll move on to mine. I just want to preface that you are not voting whether you think it's a Christmas movie or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not voting
even though the theme
because
is Christmas movies
are mad that I didn't like A Christmas Story.
Should have been disqualified. But
I'm seething over here.
Yeah. You can seethe all you want.
About
because
to come off
you
chair.
Literally need to go back and rewatch
you're
it.
You're lucky.
There is
tiny at cat least, is standing between me and
that,
you.
I think that movie's like an hour and 45 minutes long. There's at least half an hour of Christmas stuff in
okay,
that movie.
I will give you that I did not watch this in preparation.
And it has but been, I watched y'all stuff.
It's been a very long time mm-hmm. since I've seen it, so Maybe my.
All right, so we're not in a future episode. I need you to go rewatch it right. And then talk to the crowd about how much Christmas is in it. But we are voting on whether it's still cool or just nostalgia for this movie. I obviously think it's cool. I love Batman in general, but there are Batman movies that I would say are not cool. But I very much like this one. It's my favorite Michael Keaton performance, and it's easily top five Batman movies for me.
Can I go next?
Go ahead.
I love this movie. I actually really do love this movie. I think it's great. I do think it's set during Christmas, and it's not a Christmas movie. It's using themes and stuff like that. However, I do say it's cool. However, if we ever come up with the topic of the Batmobile, that's something different. This movie is cool. Other parts of it, not so much. So we'll hold on to that one.
Okay, other Mike will go next. I also think it's cool.
You mean the Deuce?
Yes, the Deuce. Sorry, right. I also think it's cool. I'm not going to try to change my judgment based on my opinion of Jeffrey over here. But
thanks. Well, I think it's not fair we're voting on the movie because I like the movie. I just don't think it's a Christmas movie.
But you got to remember, it's the item we bring.
We're voting whether it's cool or nostalgic, and
we're bringing items based on the theme.
You put us in a box here.
This is a real tough, real tough first episode here.
Yeah, it's like I disagree with everything you said, but I gotta agree with the movie.
I didn't get my props.
Yeah.
Well, I brought props.
Oh no.
We'll have a Batmobile and a Batarang over there.
We'll do that as bonus content for the Patreon.
I'll make sure I have my props in future episodes.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, there's really cool elements about this. Very classic hero villain kind of story. The Penguin is just such an amazing, like, visually a character put together.
Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman.
Well, I mean, I think the freaking weird sewing in her outfit is kind of strange, but I think...
I think it's actually, like, staples.
Yeah, well, whatever it is.
Weird enough.
It's homemade.
It's strange. I think that's also what's part of what's so cool about this movie is its strangeness. There's a lot of strangeness in it.
Tim Burton for you.
Yeah. Yep. And
it's
so,
Tim Burton special. I mean, Edward Scissorhands, come on.
Yeah. It holds your attention. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. I think it's really just a fun and well put together movie.
Well, the third time that a vote doesn't matter, but hey, Andy, your thoughts?
Outright, obviously, I agree. Tim Burton, for how weird it is still not Tim Burton level of weird, actually. Of, like, he restrained himself for the movie, I feel like. And then, obviously, it comes out in Penguin and some parts of Catwoman. And if you see... I don't know if you guys remember the scene when she knocks off the mannequin heads with the whip.
Yeah.
I was real. She actually did it.
She learned how to use a whip.
She learned and actually did it. So Michelle Pfeiffer is badass for probably the top two Catwoman.
She's been the best Catwoman.
I think she's the best. No one talks. I mean, obviously, there's one that was done by
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry one is just.
Don't get me wrong. I love Halle Berry, but I did not love that.
Halle Berry is one of the baddest women ever on the face of the planet. And if you don't believe it, go watch Hot Ones with Halle Berry eating wings, because she did not show up to do an interview. She showed up to do an interview and to get lunch. Like, that was her words, is to get lunch. And she did that. And I've
not seen hers. I watched Hot Ones, but I haven't seen that one.
Oh, watch it. Catwoman was not great.
Yeah. But... And I think, like, even later with Nolan, Catwoman also was, like, very, like, And now the new Catwoman.
Well, I love how, like, her little, like, vision things, when Catwoman. She flipped them up, it turned into cat ears. Mm-hmm. I liked, like, the actual cat burglar part of it, as opposed to. Here she's apparently, if you die and have a cat bite your finger, you turn into a ninja, apparently. So I liked the realistic stuff in there.
Yeah.
But just the aesthetics of Catwoman and the, like, kind of, like, charisma and everything like that, I liked that.
Where was the Christmas in the aesthetics of Catwoman?
Do To what?
Oh, are we going back to the Christmas discussion?
I never said Catwoman was Christmas.
I know. I'm just saying, like, you know,
she mentioned Santa Claus as a Christmas
several
movie,
times. And we scrolled through all these images and didn't see a damn thing about Christmas when talking about this movie.
So, her leather outfit is very Christmas.
I won't let it go.
Yeah, I don't know how you and your wife celebrate Christmas, but
last part of it, I think Michael Keaton almost plays it like Iron Man, kind of like rich and cool. He's not brooding. He's not like, oh, my parents died. You see the new Batman, it's like every day it looks like the parents died the day before.
He's even got the makeup.
Right.
The first time we see Bruce Wayne in this one, they put out the bat signal, and apparently he's got like 10 bat signals around his house that shine into the window, so I don't know how people don't know he's a Batman. But he's just sitting in this huge library, just in the dark, just... And then a light comes, and he's like...
Which is pretty much the definition of brooding. But
yeah, so I'm like...
But
when he's out in the world as Bruce Wayne, yes.
Yeah. He plays a playboy. But yeah. So I would it cool. Sorry, I was diving too much into it. It's pretty good.
Sweet. So I think that's episode one in the bag. What we will do is we're actually going to put each of these topics and pin them as a comment on the video on YouTube and let people actually go and vote whether they think it was cool or nostalgia. And in a future episode, we can review that and see if the viewers agreed or disagreed with us. Please don't yell at me for saying Batman Returns is a Christmas
movie.
You're
going to get so much hate.
Just go watch it. Christmas tell story. Me how it is not a Christmas movie.
But somebody in there is going to be yelling at you about like Hans Zimmer just being like so much better.
Yeah, they're going to fight me over that joke.
Yeah, they will straight up come find you and fight you.
All right. Well, that was episode one, the Christmas special of Is It Cool or Just
One.
Nostalgia. But again, I'm Jeffrey.
I'm Mike, the Deuce, going first. God damn it.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Andy.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Later, all.
The Deuce going first. Damn it.
At the end, you should be like, this has been a nostalgia or a good episode.
This has been a nostalgia production.